bless this child. Could there be any better words to hear out of baptism? Well, this morning we continue in our series of God's Welcome. As I mentioned earlier, we are in week 3. And one of the things I'm going to try to do every week, if I can, is to just remind you what it is we're talking about when we talk about hospitality, as well as how we live out our lives of hospitality. So God's Welcome, it really is hospitality. That's the bottom line. And hospitality is what invites us to trust in the boundless love that God has for us and for others. That means the purpose of hospitality is to know that we and all people are children of God, that we're made in God's image, and that we're to love one another as God loves us. And the result of hospitality then is a deeper relationship with God and a deeper relationship with one another. And there's two layers to hospitality, to how we do hospitality. The first layer is showing an interest in who God is, in getting to know God, and sharing our experience of God. The second layer is showing an interest in others, in getting to know others, and hearing their experience of God. Now, I mentioned these layers to you this morning because our scripture takes us to a passage where Jesus is teaching us something that I don't think we normally think about. It's not something that we, you know, wake up in the morning and say, oh yeah, I need to remember to do this. It's something that I think we, most of us, feel like we probably do okay with, but again, don't spend a lot of time worrying about. And so I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 43 through 47, and I'm going to be reading out of the Message translation this morning. And it goes like this. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives towards you. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we always thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for its invitations, its challenges, its reminders, especially those that come in ways that are maybe either unfamiliar or ways that we don't normally think of. Ways that prompt us to reflect on our own lives, to ask just how well are we living the life that you have called us to. And God, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts can be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning, Jesus asks us to do something very difficult. And by the way, as I'm getting in here, I do invite you to pull out your sermon notes, and you can follow along. Those notes are in there to help you kind of follow along with the sermon, number one, and number two, to give you something to take with you when you leave today to help you continue thinking about what we talked about. So today, Jesus does ask us to do something difficult, to love the unlovable, in the words of Amy Oden. Jesus wants us to love our enemies. Jesus' challenge comes in the midst of perhaps his greatest and most well-known teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, is often called the righteousness teachings of Jesus. These are the teachings where Jesus always begins with something like, you have heard it said. in reference to the Jewish law. And so, that's why the righteousness teachings are sometimes heard to be in opposition to the Jewish law. It's like, for example, it wouldn't have been uncommon during Jesus' time and before for someone to hear the command, love your neighbor, and think that meant to love only your neighbor. And from there to treat your enemies any way that you wanted. Jesus, though, wants to remind his listeners of what the heart and intent of the Jewish law really was, really is. And as we'll see, righteousness teachings really reflect an ethic of love that's meant to lead to greater righteousness for those who follow him. Now, in the case of our enemies, Jesus doesn't just say love them, does he? He says, let them bring out the best in you and respond in prayer. I wonder how many of us think or take the time to consider when we encounter something or someone we might consider an enemy, well, how can this bring out the best in me? That's a hard concept. It's an unfamiliar one, I suspect. And yet Jesus defines the best in us as our God-created selves. You see, God is a God of love, and God lavishes his love upon all of his children equally. The good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. God shares his warm and nourishing love with all people, unconditionally. So to challenge us to be our God-centered selves, Jesus means that we are to love others just as God loves us. And when we can love others the same way that God loves us, that's when we experience genuine hospitality. You see, Jesus makes it clear that genuine hospitality goes beyond simply loving the lovable. The message says we won't receive a medal or a bonus for simply loving the lovable. A medal or a bonus when we love the lovable would be like a participation trophy today. Everyone does that, so everyone gets one. In other words, there's nothing special or difficult about loving the unlovable. So Jesus says instead, grow up, your kingdom subjects. Live like it. Live a life of love by being generous and gracious towards your enemies, just as you would be those that you love. Just as Jesus was generous and gracious towards you. And this includes your enemies within. Growing up, I often felt my self-worth was based on my achievements or lack thereof. You know, was I a good enough student? Was I a good enough athlete? Was I a good enough person? You see, my parents were both teachers and my dad was a coach. And so they were not afraid to give me feedback regarding my academic and athletic performance. And while sometimes it was good, it wasn't always good. And if you're a parent, you know that you have to sometimes deliver bad news to your kids, whether they want to hear it or not. Well, what I saw from them as constructive criticism or as reasonable expectations, I tended to take as a measure of my worth. Now, I don't think my parents meant for me to take it that way. I don't think that was their intent. But nonetheless, I did. I think some of it may have been the fact that I was the oldest child, the model child, and so felt like everything that I did had to be right. If you're one of those model children, you probably know what I'm talking about. Nonetheless, I mean, if you think back to when you were in middle school or high school, maybe you had some of these insecurities too. Insecurities like, am I cool enough? Do I have enough friends? Am I smart enough? Am I going to make it in the real world? And if so, how? Am I enough? And we feel insecure about these things because there's this deeper entity within ourselves saying, I'm a loser. I'm lonely. I'm dumb. I have no purpose. I'm not good enough. Or as we might say in Christian circles, I'm not Christian enough. It's this deeper entity within ourselves that's the enemy within. And loving the unlovable begins with welcoming the enemies within or what Amy Oden calls welcoming the strangers within. You see, the strangers within are those parts of ourselves that we fear, that we reject, that we hate, that we're in conflict with. Those parts of ourselves that tell us we're never quite good enough. Now let me be clear. What I'm saying here, actually let me rephrase this. Let me be clear about one thing. I'm not saying here that welcoming the strangers within is the same thing as accepting the sin in our lives. That's not what I'm saying. You see, the purpose of Jesus' righteousness teachings is to actually call us to a higher standard of living by rejecting sin in our lives. We do have to love ourselves, though. We have to love ourselves as God made us. After all, we don't all have an IQ of 180. We don't all have six-pack abs. We don't all eat healthy and perfect every day. In the NRSV, the very last verse we read today is translated a little differently than what we read. It says, "Be perfect as God in heaven is perfect." Now, to be perfect as God is perfect, this doesn't mean that you get an A+ on every test. It doesn't mean that you make sure to eat healthy and exercise every day. It doesn't mean that you have to know the exact right thing to say every time. These are all human definitions of perfection. To be perfect as God is perfect is to live more holistically. Living more holistically begins with welcoming our strangers within. That's why Jesus asking us to love the unlovable is so difficult. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor and preacher, said, "Beware of no man more than of yourself. We carry our worst enemies within us." Each of us is the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty that Jesus mentions, all wrapped up in one nice little package. So that means that Jesus' words are just as much directed towards our enemies within as they are our enemies without. Jesus is saying, don't just love those parts of yourself that are easy to love. Love those parts of yourself that are also hard to love. Those parts of yourself that maybe you'd rather just went away. And what that means for most of us is showing ourselves what my wife's colleague describes as self-compassion. Self-compassion. Now, self-compassion means showing ourselves the same compassion that we would show others. This means forgiving yourself, allowing yourself to be comforted, caring for yourself, giving yourself a break, and giving yourself reasonable standards. And we can do all these things. You can do all of these things because God loves everyone, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty, all the same. So we can too. Even when the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty is all within us. Now, I'm not saying that this is easy. To be our God-created selves means welcoming the enemies within as strangers instead. And to welcome the stranger within requires us to do three things. First, to welcome the stranger within requires a willingness to be decentered for a while. You see, whenever we welcome an unknown part of ourselves, it's disruptive and it's disturbing. It's disturbing, I think, because we like to think we know ourselves pretty well. We like to think that we've got ourselves figured out. Like, there's nothing going on within ourselves that should surprise us. And yet, to encounter a stranger within means to encounter a weakness or a flaw that we didn't realize existed. It means to encounter something that makes us stop. And consider that the image we have of ourselves may be a bit tainted now, because we realize that I'm not as strong as I thought. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. I'm not as capable as I thought that I was. Second thing we have to do to welcome the stranger within is to have a willingness to receive whatever gift the stranger within has for us. You see, whenever we welcome an unknown part of ourselves, we always have to stop and listen to what that part of ourselves is saying to us. And perhaps the gift that we receive is one of self-awareness, helping us understand something about ourselves that we didn't know before. Perhaps the gift that we receive is common ground with others who are struggling with the same thing or experiencing the same kind of weakness we are. Or maybe the gift we receive is just simply self-compassion. Third thing we have to do to welcome the stranger within is we have to be willing to let our lives be reframed. You see, whenever we welcome an unknown part of ourselves, it always changes our perspective on our lives and on the world around us. At Bible study this last week, I showed a picture of the earth rising. It was the first picture taken of the earth from the moon. The picture was taken by astronaut William Anders during the Apollo 8 mission. Now, the effect of seeing the earth from the moon has triggered a cognitive shift in awareness, in some of the astronauts who viewed the Earth from outer space. Michael Collins, the command module pilot for Apollo 11, the first mission to actually land on the moon, said, "The thing that really surprised me was that the Earth projected an air of fragility. And why, I don't know to this day. I had a feeling the Earth's tiny. It's shiny. It's beautiful. It's home. And it's fragile." See, Jesus is inviting us to see our enemies the same way, especially our enemies within. When we reframe our enemies within as tiny, beautiful, and fragile, they cease being our enemies and become simply strangers that we need to welcome. You see, to truly welcome the stranger means following Jesus to the cross, being crucified with him, and then re-emerging with him out of the tomb into a new life. There's an old African proverb that says, "When there is no enemy within, the enemy outside can do you no harm." When we learn to love ourselves the same way that God loves us, we have reclaimed our God-created self. And to reclaim our God-created self is to live a life of love with no fear of any enemy, both within and without. So welcome your strangers within. Show yourself some self-compassion. And learn to love yourself as a child of God. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we gather in this place, we sit here all as your children. As children that come from so many different places, dealing with so many things, feeling so many different ways about ourselves and about our lives. And yet, God, your Son reminds us that regardless of all of those things, that we are loved. That we are loved unconditionally. And so, God, we pray that we can learn to love ourselves as you love us. That we can learn to see ourselves as your children. And that we can learn to show ourselves self-compassion, to give ourselves a break. And God, more than anything, we pray as we encounter these strangers within, as we wrestle with them, as they decenter us, as they offer their gifts, as they reframe our lives, that God, we can not only accept their welcome, we can not only accept the gift that they have for us, but that we can take it and use it, that love, to welcome others. God, we thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen.